In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Come and help us with all the force of thy grace. Be quick to deliver us from evil. Be not angry, O Lord. Remember no more our iniquities. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Let us pray in preparation for Christmas. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem, in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Saint Augustine, Doctor of the Church, speaking of the love of the Eternal Father, says, quote, "In giving us his Son, he could give us nothing more." Close quote. As Christmas approaches, the lit first candle of Advent is already a great sign that the light of the world is coming. As Christmas approaches, hopefully in faith we will believe that this is the greatest gift that the Father could ever have given us. In giving us Jesus, God has given us everything. St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, explains that in Jesus we find all that we can desire. We find light, strength, peace, confidence, love, and salvation, eternal glory. Listen again. I've abbreviated this passage that I read to you last Sunday, so that hopefully, since it's a little bit shorter, you can even pay more attention, more faith on Jesus, King of Love, who speaks to you. Abide in my love, John 15:9. I have loved you to the point of humbling myself in the crib, on the cross, and in the Eucharist. I have loved you without the least merit on your part. Did I not leave my Father and my heaven and my angels for you? I disdained the treasures of the world and was born naked in a stable for you. In particular, these last two phrases of our Lord, they are Christmas. It's what we begin to prepare for. Did I not leave my Father and my heaven and my angels for you? I disdained the treasures of the world and was born naked in a stable for you. Jesus is speaking to us and obviously showing us his infinite love. How do we respond? I'd like to emphasize this morning the final phrase from today's epistle. Today's epistle is taken from Romans chapter 13. And Romans chapter 13 verse 14 is, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." What does this mean? Well, it's expressed very well by St. John Eudes when he prays this. Obviously, he's praying to our Lord. And he prays, "Unite my heart with thine and my will with thy will." That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That I put on his heart, His will, not my heart, not my will. And St. John Newts continues to pray, so that I may never will and may never be able to will anything or in any other way than thou willest and what thou willest. Because again, he's no longer himself willing what he wants. He's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he prays, O sweet Jesus, O my God, let me love thee with all my heart in all things and above all things. We could say, let me love you as you love me, putting on the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really take these words to heart from the first Sunday of Advent, from the epistle. Another possible way to translate it would be, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this season of Advent is so that we will change, so that we're not clothed the same way on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day as we are now. We're clothed with ourselves, with our self-will. We're to divest ourselves of that, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the season of Advent is a time for prayer, fasting, almsgiving, works of charity. There's a deeper purpose. Without these great works, we're never going to be able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be able to unite our hearts to His. We're not going to be able to unite our wills to His, because we have to break our will. That's the purpose of prayer, mortification, fasting, almsgiving, works of charity. It's so that we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and so we can love Him in return. With regard to prayer, remember, I strongly encourage all of you, pray the Christmas Novena. We prayed it already, although I just prayed it once. The Novena is to pray it 15 times, the little prayer. It's in that little prayer, Blessed Be the Hour. I strongly encourage you to pray the Christmas Novena. We began yesterday. And if you missed yesterday, start today. Also, especially I encourage you, look, we don't have to reinvent things. What we have to do is we've got to do our best to be more fervent and more faithful, better prepared for Holy Mass, Holy Communion, the Holy Rosary. These weeks of Advent are an excellent time to dedicate ourselves more faithfully to Holy Mass, Holy Communion, the Holy Rosary. Just think for a moment, Holy Mass and Holy Communion. There's no more profound way to put on the Lord Jesus Christ than being there at the sacrifice of His body and blood, His sacrifice on the cross, and receiving Him in Holy Communion. It seems that usually, for example, during the week, we have the same people that are at Mass during the week. Make a special effort during Advent to come more often to Holy Mass. To make a more fervent Holy Communion. How well do you prepare to receive Holy Communion? Sometimes I explain to the faithful. I tell them, look, there are many ways that you can participate in the Mass. And one of the ways that you can participate in Mass, it's a very good way to participate in Mass, and I strongly encourage you to do this sometimes. You don't have to do it all the time, but to do it sometimes. To really prepare yourself well for Holy Communion. So that beginning already, like let's say, or right after the sermon, you know, when the priest begins to pray the creed, or when the priest is praying the prayers at the offertory, you can even begin earlier than that. To already begin praying prayers of preparation for Holy Communion. Acts of faith, acts of love, acts of contrition. In terms of prayer, I also remind you again, don't forget the importance of the posadas insofar as it's a novena for the nativity of our Savior Jesus Christ. I encourage you also to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 5 begins with the Beatitudes. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is a very beautiful chapter to read and pray over during this time of Advent because it will help you to prepare for the judgment, the coming of our King and Judge. And obviously, it's always good to pray from the Psalms, to pray the Psalms. But I also encourage you, particularly during this season of Advent, as you're praying, whether you're coming to Mass or praying the Rosary or praying the Christmas Novena, to especially make an intention, ask our Lord. Ask Him to come and reign, particularly in your will. We have four basic ways that I've mentioned on numerous occasions. Jesus, come and reign in my mind. And this rain is not, don't think, especially the young ones, don't think this is rain falling from the sky, R-A-I-N. No, it's the King who reigns. It's R-E-I-G-N. Come and reign, be the King of my mind. Come and reign in my mind, come and reign in my will. Come and reign in my heart, come and reign in my body. It's so important that we pray for this because, again, this is preparing for the coming of our King. That He truly be the King of your mind, of your will, of your heart, and of your body. Make an effort, again, that, for example, in preparing for Holy Communion, to ask Jesus that as He's going to come to you in Holy Communion, that ask Him for the grace so that you allow Him to truly be your King, and that He can reign in your mind, in your will, in your heart, and in your body. And I say especially the will, because it's a question of, as I was also mentioning last Sunday when we were talking about seeking God's will, not our own. It's a question of really seeking to please God and seeking to unite our will to His most holy will, to conform our will to His will. Because again, we all have a very strong tendency. This is the effects of original sin. A very strong tendency to do our own will. This is why you can even see among the little ones, among the children. They disobey. They're doing their own will. And it's so sad because we begin when we're young, disobeying our parents, disobeying, and we continue disobeying. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, really look, it's the same as loving God, as I've been preaching over the last few Sundays. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means turning away from sin. Because Jesus is completely opposed to sin. In the great miracle, the great sign, the great grace of Mary's Immaculate Conception, we see how profoundly and uniquely united she is to her Son, because she also is completely free from sin. But obviously our Savior Jesus Christ is completely without spot, completely pure, completely free from sin. So to put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to turn away from sin, to never displease Jesus. This is a wonderful motto, for example, for the young ones to take on. Tell yourself, I never want to displease Jesus. By my actions, by my words, by my thoughts, I don't want to displease Jesus. I want Him to be the King of my mind, the King of my thoughts. Even the little ones, you can and do it. Ask Jesus to come and reign in your minds. Always seek to please Him. Conform your will to His. Basically, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means give Him your mind. Give Him your will. Give Him your heart. Give Him your body. Listen to the words spoken by our Lord on June the 16th, 1675. He spoke these words on that day to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And again, He's speaking of His love, His Sacred Heart, the great symbol of his love. Quote, "Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify to them its love. And in return, I receive from the greater number nothing but ingratitude, coldness, and contempt." Close quote. This message of our Lord and His Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, it's so real every Christmas. Christmas, what is our Lord telling us? Exactly what He told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, given itself completely. How do we respond? Our Lord Himself says that the greater number, the majority, to His love they respond with ingratitude, coldness, and contempt. Again, draw the connection. Look, really make an effort to make this time of Advent a holy season. Don't stay clothed the same way. Don't be the same in terms of your prayer, penance, works of charity, almsgiving. Come Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one of the reasons why I chose to remind you of these words of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque is because, again, they are so apropos to Advent and Christmas. Of how our Lord is manifesting His infinite love for us, and yet the majority are responding with ingratitude, coldness, and contempt, indifference. This is what happens every Christmas. Advent and Christmas is coming along, and everyone is consumed, or the vast majority, they're consumed by material things, shopping, eating, parties. Remember that devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, what it is it's devotion to a heart that loves. And not just a heart that loves, it's a heart that loves infinitely. It's a heart that, obviously, no other heart in the entire history of mankind can even come close to the love of the Sacred Heart. It's devotion to a heart that loves and is not loved. One that is lavishing favors on his loved ones and is in return treated with ingratitude, coldness, and contempt. So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ so you can respond to His love in a small measure comparatively to His love. To return love for love. Not to return Him ingratitude, coldness, and contempt. St. John Hughes says, quote, "The divine heart of our Savior is filled with eternal love for us. This incomparable heart has loved us from all eternity, before we were and could have known and loved it. Even in spite of the vision and knowledge it had of all our offenses, which were present to its vision as they are now." Remember what I mentioned to you last Sunday, because this is also central to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. To put on Jesus Christ means to conform one's will to His holy will. To seek His will, to seek to please Him, and to obey His commandments. It is, as I said last Sunday, conformity to God's signified will and conformity to God's will of good pleasure. Don't forget those two so that hopefully also during Advent, you'll be motivated to pray, to fast, to give alms as a way of dying to your will so that you can conform yourself to God's signified will and God's will of good pleasure. Conformity to God's signified will means obeying God's will as expressed through His commandments, the sacraments, the teachings of His church, and through the commands of our lawful superiors. And conformity to God's will of good pleasure means a willing and cheerful acceptance of everything that happens, realizing that it comes from the loving hands of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.